Welcome to Conversations with John and Lisa, and I'm super excited because I have one of my favorite people in the world with me. John's not here. I love John, but I have my beautiful, amazing daughter-in-law, Juliana, and we are going to be talking about an upcoming book release who is inspired by her daughter, Lizzie the Lioness. It's going to be releasing next week, October the 3rd. And we really want to talk about empowering the next generation to be brave. So, Julie, you live with Lizzie full time. I get to just see her for short, brief moments. Tell us about Lizzie. Tell us about what you love about her package.
Lizzie is hard to put into words, to say the least.
Yes.
She's everything wonderful and fierce and scary at times, a lot of times. We thought the twos were going to kind of take that out of her, but no, she's three, almost three and a half now, and she's still going full force. She gets into everything. And she's just so, there's so much energy within her. When she walks into a room and greets you, you feel very special. Even as her mom and dad were like obsessed with her to a degree that doesn't make sense.
Well, and often she's like taking off her clothes as soon as she comes in too. Like, I have to be free and comfortable. I'm like, wait, that's an adorable outfit. Just keep it on. Let's just keep it on for 15 minutes.
Yeah. No, her clothes goes, her bows go. She just has to, she wants to be in her natural state at all times. And she is, she's a little lioness. Yes. I think that's the perfect example for Lizzie.
Well, I loved it that when I was reading the book to her, she like saw herself. She'd be like, I say roar. This is me. I mean, like everything about the character, she's like, this is me. I am the out of control, busy Lizzie. This is me. And I love that Addison said something about your guys' parenting, how you really want to be careful to foster that freedom, that fierceness in her, and equip her with, you know, and so like definitely train her, but not break her spirit. And would you say like you've just learned as a mom on that?
Well, I'm constantly learning so much about myself through the way I parent my children, through my instincts in parenting, which a lot of times are great and sometimes are limiting. Mm-hmm. And that to me is tragic because I don't want to pass my limitations on to my children, but in putting them in boxes, specifically our girls, you know, I did grow up with an understanding of what girls were supposed to do and who they were supposed to be and who they weren't supposed to be and how they were supposed to act to attract a certain type of attention. And that's just not something I want to put on them. It's not a burden that they should have. And so in that we want to always allow them to go as far as they feel comfortable with.
Yeah. And Sophia and Lizzie are such different packages.
They are.
But you guys are doing it so well. You know, I love the whole positioning of this book is Proverbs 28:1, which is the righteous are as bold as a lion. And, you know, it's interesting because we don't necessarily associate women with boldness.
Yeah.
And yet I think they need to advocate. I mean, just yesterday you were in a situation with Augustus and, you know, you need to really advocate for his health and be like, okay, I'm his mom and I understand what you guys are saying, but you had to have that empowerment to feel like, hey, I'm bold on this because I'm a good mom and I live with this child. And even though I'm just visiting this doctor for 5 minutes, I need to be able to say what's going on. And I think a lot of times if young girls are taught to play down their boldness, to speak up, to advocate for other people, to say something's not right when they see something, when we are, you know, told as women, no, that's not what girls do. You know, it isn't based off of gender. It's based off of righteousness. Yeah. And that the righteousness and the righteous are as bold as a lion because we are in Jesus. And in Jesus, we can be bold with what we say. It doesn't mean we have to be rude, but we need to be bold. And I love that we're having opportunity with Lizzie the Lioness book to actually empower kids to be bold. So, yeah. You know, when I wrote this book, Julie, I remember we were actually all like in my brain when I had the idea, we were all at a Christmas musical and I was watching Lizzie like climb over everybody during the Christmas musical. Just like, I'm going to actually come over here now. I'm going to go. And I just started to remember actually myself when I was little, when I felt like there was a little girl across the street that they called Big Lisa. And then I was Little Lisa. Uh-huh. And Big Lisa could cross the street without her mom. Little Lisa couldn't. Big Lisa could like offer kids food whenever they wanted. She wanted to. Little Lisa couldn't. And I hated feeling like I was little. I hated feeling I had the limitations. And then I watched Lizzie, you know, she's like, why can't I do what Asher and Sophie does? Why can't I be big like everybody else? And I just thought, you know what? Being the third child, as Lizzie is, and being little, I wanted to empower her with her own identity.
Yeah.
So it was really important to me to kind of just like see her. And I loved her fierceness. And, you know, even though it was like, oh my gosh, she could be catching her dress on fire at this candlelight, you know, service at church. I still was like, I understand that. So I wanted to be able to balance safety and boldness.
Yeah.
And to be able to model some things where she would know when she could actually step in and when she could actually ask for help.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of push for women to be brave, be brave, be brave. But it's a brave of independence instead of a courage of interdependence, of knowing who's safe for you to go to, knowing what is not a safe situation for you and distancing yourself from it and actually asking for help.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. And I love that this is a children's book because it's such a specific message. And that is, you know, people think children's books are just fun and cute pictures, but those stick with kids. The messages and the heart of these books, they stick with children. And what kids grasp as little when they're little is what they build upon as an adult. And I want this to be a building block for Lizzie, for Asher, for Sophia, for Augustus. I want the boldness and the it is vulnerable to ask for help, especially as a child, because you almost expect to be turned down or told it's not a big deal because you don't see the word.
Yeah. Or, you know, there's something, you know, I don't know if you know this, people listening, but this is, you know, this also, so my granddaughter inspired, like I want to give her a voice, but it's actually a fictionalized true story. So there was a story in Ethiopia where a little girl was abducted and pulled out of her village. And when they pulled her out of the village, she was crying. She was, you know, yelling, of course, for her mom, her dad. And her abductor started to beat her. And out of the bush came running a pride of lions that actually surrounded this little girl, chased off the abductors, laid around her in a circle. And then when the people of the village came out, the lions just disappeared. And so I thought, what could I do? That to me, that, you know, I was writing Lioness Rising. I love this story. I want, and I just thought, I'm going to make Lizzie the youngest lion, that she's going to actually see another child at risk, know that she's too little to do anything, but know where to go. She's wise enough to understand that she needs to ask for help, and she's compassionate and caring enough not to just be afraid, but actually get some other people involved. And so I thought if I could make her the littlest, and then she would actually see that even though she was little, she was a voice, and she was an answer to somebody else's prayers. And we are never too small to use our voice, and we are never too small to actually be the answer to somebody's prayers. And so
that's
that was
so
really important for me. You know, and I also wanted to facilitate conversation. I don't know if your kids are already doing this, Julie, but my boys would come home from school. I would say, how was your day? And they would be like, pretty much no conversation.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's fine. Like, really? So what was your favorite thing? Mom, I want something to eat. Or, you know, I'm going to go do this. Or I got homework to do. And then when I was putting them to bed, they would open up the well of their soul. And they'd be like, today this happened. And I'd be like, what? Why did we not talk about this at 4? Why are we talking about this at 10? I kind of feel like it's a strategy for me to stay up longer with you when really all I want to do is go to bed. And so I wanted to create actually a rhythm for moms and dads that when they put their kids to bed, there is intentional conversation, intentional conversation to locate the need to equip them for tomorrow. And those tools were important to me because I feel like a lot of parents are like, at that point, they're brain dead. They're like, no, I just, everything is about just get in the bed, get in the bed. No, get in the bed. And so these conversations were important. So, you know, how are you and Addison creating an environment for your kids to ask for help?
That's a great question. We could definitely slow down the bedtime routine because our kids are the same. But I just look at them like, not today.
Let's talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah. I'll ask you again tomorrow. Just pocket this, which of course never would actually happen. But I think what you said was so key, just that intentional conversation. I did a sleepover with Sophia, our six-year-old, a few weeks ago, and we were just laying in my bed talking, and the things she was saying were so precious to me. And, you know, I had almost not done that because she's not the best kid to sleep with. She's kind of all over you. And
I remember when I slept with her.
I'd almost talk myself out of it, like, no, I'm just going to sleep alone for the first time in my life. but I'm so glad I didn't because it was precious. And she gave me such a good gauge for where she's at. She's changing constantly. And if you're not having those intentional conversations, you're relating with that child as they were, not as they are. And then it just limits the potential for growth in your relationship. Because if you keep relating to them as they were, they'll stop wanting to relate to you.
And, you know, I do wonder if when kids come home from school, if the day is kind of heavy on them and they don't want to think about it. And then, you know, they get back in their home, they kind of take a deep breath, the routine, you know, the homework's done, the meal's eaten, and they feel safe. They almost feel like they need to unburden their soul before they go to sleep. Like, I just need to know that I can have a conversation about this. And I remember I had like a ridiculous long time period to put my boys to bed. And again, that was because John traveled, but it was like an hour and a half every single night. Yeah. You know, like we read, we sang, you know, there was I need a drink of water, multiple bathroom trips with four boys, you know, but just, you know, it was, and I did have to trim it down a little bit, but I would say that was where some really precious conversations happened with my boys at dinner. Sometimes that's not what happened. And even when my boys got older, I would notice that they would just kind of like to know that I like was on cards putting them to bed, but just saying goodnight to them, maybe rubbing their back or something. And because a pattern had been started, they would talk to me about some things that maybe they wouldn't talk about in other situations. And I know, you know, I know that I'm so thankful that I get to live near you guys. I can actually have these conversations with my grandkids.
Yeah.
You know, another thing, Julie, and again, I think you do this really well, but I think a lot of women don't. You know, I'm hoping with this book that the moms will not only empower their kids to ask for help, but the moms will understand that once their kids know that it's courageous to ask for help, that the children will actually empower the moms, and the moms will feel like they have permission to ask for help. And it's not a failure. It's courageous to ask for help. That is often the bravest thing, to actually know your limits and say, I need some other people. I need some help. Maybe it's another mother. Maybe it's a grandparent. I don't know what it is, but we want to empower parents to have conversations and parents to ask for help, because we do live in a day and time where everybody acts like they've got it figured out on social media. Yeah. Like, I mean, sometimes I see people's houses, like, here it is. This is my normal everyday with my children. I'm like, how is there nothing on your floor? How is that even happening?
Are your kids in cages?
Did you stage this room? Yeah, this is a staged room. This is not a normal person's room. You know, there's always going to be something amiss if you have children, or even actually if you just have me in your house. But it's like, there's moms are going to feel like, I should be able to do it all. I should be able to have it all. And I don't like that feeling. And, you know, what are you doing with your female friendships where you can actually ask each other for help?
Yeah. I can't say that I can speak to the female friendship part, although I want to. I want the village.
You're coming up from four kids.
Yeah.
Very close
together. I'm coming up for a breath. Our youngest just turned one. So, but I can say within myself and even with the four children, we have found such a freedom in the reality that we have four small humans and it is never going to be or look or sound or seem anything close to perfection. And we have found such freedom in that because we have to prioritize. And the way we're prioritizing now, I have no doubt will carry us into our future when our kids are grown. They are doing more for themselves, but we still don't care about any kind of a facade of perfection. Yeah. And really finding that freedom.
It just makes everybody nervous.
Yeah, it does. And it's stressful. Like, it's such an unnecessary weight.
Well, I am so glad that you could join me today. And, you know, Julie, I just want to say to everybody, I think you're an exceptional mother. Mm. John and I watch you and Addison, and we're like, wow, they're just doing it so much better than we did it. And, you know, every generation has that chance to know more and do more and do better. And you guys are definitely doing that. I love that you give me close proximity to your kids. It's just so much fun. And so, you know, again, we want tools. For years, I've had the privilege of empowering women all over the earth. And I really felt like it was a mistake to not empower women to empower their daughters. And so Lizzie the Lioness is my first children's book. I hope you understand the heart behind this book. This isn't just a, hey, let's talk about a lion. This is actually, I want your children to see themselves as righteous, as bold, as fearless, as empowered to be brave by asking questions. And if you want more information, you can go to lizziethelioness.com. Right now, I know they've got some bonus materials if you pre-order. So you can pre-order. You can also get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, CBD, any brick and mortar store that sells books. Anyway, it's been an incredible blessing. Thank you for joining us. Check out our new podcast called The Messenger Podcast. We've got some of the sons, some of our spiritual sons, some of our spiritual daughters, and you can subscribe to that podcast and this podcast on iTunes. Thanks for joining Julie and I today.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with John and Lisa. Let us know your thoughts by leaving a review and be sure to subscribe and share these episodes through iTunes. You can connect with John and Lisa through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or visit our website at messengerinternational.org. Until next time.